Meet Craig.
Hello.
He asked his bank about refinancing and, as a first-rate customer, expected a first-rate home loan.
I didn't rate it.
So he spoke to Macquarie Bank. They reward good borrowers with great rates, low fees and a game-changing 24/7 digital experience.
Well, opening hours are so last century, right?
If you'd like to move with the times, move your home loan. Search Macquarie Home Loans or call your broker and say,
I bank with Macquarie.
Lending criteria, fees and T's and C's apply.
Fabulous time of the year this is. This is comedy festival time. Yes, we've got Formula One Grand Prix. Yes, we had the flower show. Yes, it's all happening at the football and it's fabulous, but it is fantastic to have the comedy festival back. And a guy who's been to Melbourne one or two times before but has missed out the last couple of years for obvious reasons is John Hastings, a Canadian man living in LA. John, good evening to you.
Good evening to you. How's everything?
Yeah, good, mate. Listen, when you're watching your phone and somebody all of a sudden just tells you, hey, you've got to see this. Will Smith just slapped somebody.
Oh, I can tell you.
What happens to a comedian?
So I was literally, I woke up from a nap, I think 7 seconds before it happened.
Right.
So I literally woke up and then I just saw, I literally like was checking the news and I just saw it appear and it just said, you won't believe what happened to Chris Rock. And right. I just watched and just watched. And it was like the unaired footage because I'm in Australia, so they got it direct off the feed.
Yeah.
So I saw everything with all the, and I just couldn't, what I couldn't believe is Chris Rock and I are so similar because that's exactly how I would have reacted if Will Smith had smacked me, which is, sort of, did Will Smith just smack me?
Wow.
Yeah.
It was that, wasn't it?
And then I took a second and because I at first was like, well, I guess that's what happened. And then it took me a second to be like, wait a minute, you don't get to slap someone because you don't like what they said about you. Doesn't matter. Like, you can't do that.
And
like,
as a comedian, when you sort of took time to digest it and thought, geez, yeah, I did see that. But as a comedian, how did it make you feel?
Oh, I was in a rage. I'm still angry about it. And I can go on a giant political rant about it, too, because I will then get angry at all the people that are constantly trying to go, oh, comedians need help. Comedians are being oppressed over what they say. And that's just because those people want to hear horrible things said about certain groups and they want to mask it in stand-up comedy. Because not one of them stood up and went, guess what, Fresh Prince? We're kicking you out like Uncle Phil used to kick jazz out of the house.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It shows everyone in that room's true colors when they all stood up and applauded for his speech because they all don't like when someone makes fun of them because they're all super rich. And you know what?
Yep.
No one wanted to see a movie about the Williams sisters' dad. I don't know anyone who I love tennis. I love it. I've loved it my whole life.
You weren't gagging for that, though.
I'd like to see a movie about Venus and Serena Williams. I would like to see. I got news for you. He didn't win all of those U.S. Opens. I'm not interested. Like, you know what I mean? It'd be like, we're making a movie about Muhammad Ali's dad's friend who said, Cassius, boxing.
Boxing.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing?
It's like the bloke in The Graduate who said plastics to Benjamin Bragg.
Exactly.
That sort of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just that whole thing. It felt so self-serving. I think everyone's sort of in this place where, you know, one thing happens and then it becomes like part of the bigger sort of thing of how you feel about the world. But it's sort of how I felt about the world. This is the same thing of going, everything we're focusing on is not the important part of this.
Yeah.
We should be focusing on the fact that why are we still watching the Academy Awards? Yeah. No one has seen those movies. You know what
right,
I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's just like that's where I come down on the whole thing, but I think it's ridiculous. I don't like, I'm someone, I've been attacked a few times. I've had a gun pulled on me on stage.
Really? What happened? Where were
I was
you?
In, I don't really remember it.
Wasn't here. Wasn't
no, it was, in, it was in Canada.
It wasn't at the Melbourne Town Hall.
It was absolutely not the Melbourne Town. Okay. I will say this about Melbourne audiences in Australia has a reputation for violence, but there's like a real gentleman's game to it. Like, I've had a couple of people be like, if it wasn't a comedy show, I would have bashed you.
Yeah.
They always think that that's a compliment. I was like, oh, well.
We're just here for a laugh.
Yeah, I guess. Sure. Jeepers, creepers. I guess you and Will Smith have a couple of things in common. But, no, it was in Canada. It was my first tour ever. And I said something to, I know exactly what I said, but it's not radio safe. And I said it to a woman in the front row.
Yeah.
Whoever, the man she was with took offense. And he said, we shoot people in this town for talking that way.
Right.
And he said it in a way where I was like, ooh. And I got off stage and I smoked cigarettes at the time. And then he went out and he went to his car. And I realized, oh.
Okay.
Going to get his gun.
Righto.
And he took out I don't remember him taking out the other comedians remember him showing me the gun. All I remember the headliner wouldn't leave because the girl who was washing the dishes had promised some companionship after the show. So I had to take a taxi cab out of a town to avoid getting shot. And that right there is that's show business right there.
And give up show business?
Exactly right.
It's one of those. And yeah, you think to yourself, I wonder if I should be an accountant or something else. Was there really anything Never. Else that you were ever going to do? I mean,
it was all show business.
You can do comedy now, and you can do comedy, and you can keep doing comedy, and people look upon it as a real job. I'm telling you off here, my brother Richard started comedy in the early 80s here in Melbourne when there was a massive comedy boom, when a lot of people who are still around now and recognised in television seemed to just grow out of this area all of a sudden in Melbourne. This is just pre the comedy festival, which came a few years later.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it. He's still going around. This is his great love. I've never done it in my life because I've always been too terrified to do it.
It's an interesting thing. I always find it like it's one of those things where the lifestyle that comes along with the job is incredibly easy to get used to.
Yeah.
And as a job, it's one of those things where there's lots of parts of it that are very engaging. You're very much the captain of your own ship, which is very fun.
Sure.
And it's that thing of like, I wanted to be a history teacher. I wanted to be an actor. And then when you kind of look at it, it's like, well, that's just talking. I want to be able to talk to a crowd. I want to be a performer. So it's just I found stand-up because a girlfriend took me to a show for our anniversary.
Yeah.
And the comedians were so bad, I just realized, I was like, oh, I could do this.
I'm not going to do that, yeah.
Which is, I think, what a lot of stand-up I've had a few – that's not a lot. I don't want to generalize. I've had a few other people say that too where they sort of went – because you're mystified. You see it on TV, and it's Richard Pryor, and it's George Carlin, and I'm growing up in suburban Canada, and it's like, how am I going to be as interesting as those guys? But then you go to a comedy club, and you just see, like, a guy named Johnny and his closer as he lip-syncs to a Tina Turner song, and you're like, well, I'm more interested than this guy, so let's...
How can I do that?
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's sort of how the ball got rolling.
Your show is at the Cloakroom, Melbourne Town Hall, starting now, going through till 23rd, already started.
Already started.
You're on the boards at the moment. What's the name of the show? What have you named it?
It's called... John Hastings: Do you have any ointment, my John Hastings?
That's great.
It was. I didn't come up with it actually.
Did you have a nasty little itch or something?
I wish. I always want a very bad pun title. Like I love the idea that we have to name these hours. Yes, if I had my druthers, I would go, where everyone just call it your name.
Yep.
No one is going. I gotta see Empire. Like they just they want to go see Reese Nicholson or Nath Valvo or Zoe Kumsmar or John Hastings. That's what they don't remember the title. So a couple of years ago, I used to like rack my brains and come up with these like, I remember I called it Integrity and I thought that was so brilliant. And then the show kind of didn't do what I wanted it to do. And I was kind of like, why are you worrying about the title? Just call it something stupid and we're moving forward.
That's right.
And that's what I did. My friend David Hoare, who's a very funny musical comedian in the UK, came up with it. He just because I always say, if anyone thinks of a pun title, and he wrote that, and I just went, that is so stupid. And here's the key. Every person who has been involved in the production in terms of producers to put the show at festivals, PR people have to sell it to media, all hate it. They'll please call it something else. And right there, it's going, that's the name right there.
Yeah, go.
Yeah.
You've had a rotten year. What happened? Take us through that. The last year. We haven't seen you here for a couple of years, obviously.
It's been brutal. I can give you I got divorced.
Yeah.
My best friend passed away. Jeez. I nearly lost my left arm in a bicycle accident. Yeah. I got bed bugs. I pooped in my pants are the top five that are covered in the show.
Bed bugs. Where'd you get them?
So I got them from an airplane coming from New York to Los Angeles. Yes.
Everyone's worried about COVID and you got bed bugs.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. It was a fascinating thing. I learned, it's weird what you learn going through something like bed bugs. So you have to throw out your mattress, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they have to spray, but even the spray won't necessarily kill them because they're such a good pest. The main thing is, if you can just leave the place for a month, a cockroach will eventually smell them, come and kill them all, and you're done.
Well, it's good, but who's got time for that?
I was on the road, and so basically it was just like I had started seeing someone, and things escalated much quicker because when one person becomes homeless in a relationship, the other person now has a roommate. You know what I'm saying? So it was that, but it was utterly, like, you've never wished for a cockroach before they said, oh, you have bed bugs. And they were like, you know, if this building had cockroaches, this wouldn't be a problem. And I was like, what would you, we're not fighting locusts with other locusts, guys. We've got a snake, let's get a tiger. You know what I mean? No. But no, it's been super wild. And then a bunch of other things that I couldn't even make funny out of jokes. Like, I got accused of fraud by the state of California based off of sort of, you know, how everyone had to, government threw everyone money so you could survive. Because I'm a freelance person, they went, I got paid money, I declared it all sort of fine, and they went, no, absolutely not. And it was a whole crazy mess of a thing. They finally got me in front of a judge who then agreed with me. And it's you know, as someone who is a stand-up comedian, that was the most vindicating thing, to be like, take that, state of California. The man in the cloak, he's with the clowns. Yeah, that's right. COVID has made strange bedfellows of us all.
Oh, has it ever. I mean, you were on America's Got Talent on the day that American COVID pandemic started.
Yeah. The Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, was on the radio and television saying, go home. And you've worked in production. So I'll take everyone sort of inside it. So when you see something like Britain's Got Talent, Australia's Got Talent, you see those sets, but those are all built and being hung, and there's crews all behind it, and there's all of those backstage areas or sets, all of that is built. Mm-hmm. I arrived at 1 p.m. on that Saturday, and this is when we didn't think it was a mask thing. Remember?
No, of course.
We were washing our hands.
And don't touch your face.
Your face.
And Trump said it'll be all over by Easter.
Oh my God! Listen,
2020.
So I had the inside track because my agent in the UK, Brett, had called me that Monday, and he runs festivals in Europe and the UK. And because it's intercommerce sort of things or something with the EU, he had basically been dragged into some sort of meeting, and they went, it's over. We're going inside for a long time. So I get this panicky call from an Englishman while I'm in Los Angeles going, I don't know what you're talking about, Brett. There's no way we're going inside for a year. What do you mean Melbourne's going to be locked down for 6 months? You're crazy, man. So we smacked to now Saturday. We're going inside. Yeah. We've got a lot of toilet paper at home. Yeah. And they go, you'll be here for an hour or two. We just need to get a couple of people in front of you. And as the day is progressing, countries are closing their borders.
Yes.
So acts that are from New Zealand or Italy or all those sort of places are trying to get their spot on television and then get to the airport, or they live in America now. So it's now 9:30 at night. And it's me and a guy dressed like a chicken. The entire set is packed into trucks. The crew is in the audience because they're just waiting for us to go. And there's a light problem. So for an hour, me and Terry Crews talk about men's fashions in the wings of a theater. And then I walked out and performed 4 minutes of stand-up comedy to four judges. Simon Cowell, Sofia Vergara, and Howie Mandel.
Can't be with it.
And it was, after all of that, let's not mess it up. And thank God above I did not. Like, all credit to Howie Mandel, I will have to say, because I walked out there super nervous and freaked out. And he went, don't worry, I know you're a comic. You can see it in the clip. If you see, my energy is very frantic. And they literally cut about 5 minutes of me. And then I just go into my act, and it was like nothing. It was like, well, everything else is crazy, but I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And I just did it. And I noticed that the crew was in the audience. We had a little riff. And it was this amazing moment. And I went, this is okay. If nothing else comes from this is a cool thing I got to say. I did. We don't know what the edit's going to be like, but I did this. This is amazing.
That's good.
Talk to the Lord. Now, this is where show business will get you. And people think this is very cynical, but I love this part of it. So now the show is done. I have achieved something that's sort of impossible. Yeah. Stand-up comedy requires an audience. Not like radio. Radio's also a brilliant medium, but you don't need an audience for this. How do I get home? I don't drive in L.A. And they're in a pandemic. There's no Ubers. And for those of you who've never been to L.A., it's not like Melbourne that is a city of beautiful trams with bells. There's public transport, but you do not want to go on it.
What about, did you ask Sofia? Have you got a lift or something?
Do not feel the celebrities were in a let me hitch a ride in your limo type of mood.
I saw you laughing, Sofia.
Exactly. Come on, Simon.
I like your show.
Let me jump on that scooter, bud. No, it
come
was
on,
nothing.
Come on, let's go. Nothing. Oh, jeez.
So I take public transport at the beginning of a pandemic, and I go into downtown L.A., which is really dangerous. And as I'm getting off, the guy who gets off the train with me attacks a Union Station security guard. Oh, yeah. So within 27 minutes of killing in an empty theater, I'm giving a police report to someone because a security guard got a bash. And I remember just being like, This is show business right here. Is like, there's
you can't beat it.
And I almost wanted to say to the cop, like, do you know where I came from? But yeah, like, he would, if you in that moment, he would have arrested me too. Like, just like, sure you did, buddy. I know Simon Cowell as well.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Anytime.
It's been good. And this show, of course, 10:45 Friday, Saturday, 9:10 Monday. The Cloakroom, Melbourne Town Hall, beautiful venue, 100 Swanson Street. For more info, go to marytobinpresents.com.au. What a wonderful organisation, a wonderful person indeed Mary is. Or for tickets, go to comedyfestival.com.au. Check this guy out. He is fabulous fun, and I've just loved having conversations. One of those things where I forgot I'm on radio and we must take a break and we must go and say goodbye, because it's been an absolute pleasure to meeting you, John.
Thank you, brother. I'll see you soon.
Do you know what? The next year is going to be better for you, mate.
Fingers crossed.
John Hastings.